Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey. So first of all, sorry, our patrons. Last week was the beginning of April, and we did not give you your shout out. So before we forget, here you are. Luis, our OG. You're always there
love
for us.
Love Luis. I just feel like she's like a close personal friend. And I know we've never actually met in person, but we love you.
We should try to maybe one day plan like a public meetup for like anyone who wants
to. Oh yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Laurel, thank you.
Yes.
Jill.
Yes.
Rocky.
Yes. I'm just saying yes after every one of them because I yes, thank you is where I'm going with that.
Jazzy.
Yes.
And then our new patron, Leslie.
Yeah.
From the Grim Mystics, which is RIP. They're not doing it anymore, which I'm sad about, but I completely understand. But she's so sweet. We've become good friends and stuff. And so thank you so much, you guys. Your support really means so much to us. And those of you who reach out to us weekly too, sharing ideas or just giving us your feedback, like, hey, I listened to your episode. Like, it really does mean the world to us. My sister's always messaging me as she's telling me little bits of it and stuff. And like, she's like, oh, this, you know, like even that, like, yes, it's my sister. I get it. Like, she doesn't have to listen, but she does. I appreciate it, you know? So it really does mean the world to us, you guys. We appreciate it so much, you know, whether you're a patron or a listener or however, we it means the world to us.
Yes, we appreciate it very much.
Yes, yes we do. Don't mind the way I sound. Allergies have kicked in full swing. I'm still sleeping with that bedroom window open, which is delightful, but it's not delightful in the morning time when I'm sneezing and itchy eyes and hacking
you sound
and coughing.
Perfectly normal to me, so you're good.
Oh, well, fantastic. I'm so glad.
Yeah, yeah
I'm so
you're
glad.
Good.
Hope you all had a lovely holiday, Easter, Unicorn Day, all the fun things. I don't think I have a whole lot in the top here. We're still, you know, working on podcast stuff, you guys. Life's been a little hectic these last couple weeks for us. I feel like when school starts to get to the point of like ending, things get real hectic. Like April for me right now, I'm just like, this feels nonstop. There's always something. Yeah. And my kids just never seem to have school anymore. So that's real fun.
Yeah. It's a million activities and I'm just like ready for summer, which doesn't seem any less chaotic, oddly, but it's just life. That's life these days.
Right. It is what it is. So I guess I'll dive right in. This week, I missed doing the paranormal stuff like that. So I know it hasn't been that long since we've been to Ohio, but I think I found one of the only places I'd ever want to go to Ohio. Sorry to anyone who lives there. Yeah. Like,
my daughter asked me why everyone hates Ohio. And I said, what? Like, I wasn't aware of this. She said, Mom, that's like everything I ever watch. Everyone's always making fun of Ohio. And I was unaware of this, but now that she said that, I have noticed it a lot more, which is odd because I've never, sorry, Ohio, like I have nothing
Ohio
against
for
you.
Lovers? That was an emo song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God. Who sung it?
I know.
I had CD.
Yeah.
I know that much.
I like something along the lines of Yellow Card or like
Dashboard
or,
card.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'll look it up. Yeah, chatting here.
So I mean, listen, I don't know. I that's always like I'm like, why do people come to Nebraska?
Hawthorne Heights, real quick.
Hawthorne. I knew it started with an H.
Yep.
Thank you.
But
I'm
pretty
sure the CD that was on had CD A and CD B, and one friend bought an A, and I bought the B, and there was really no difference except for that the pictures lined up. It's like if you're gonna do that shit, you need to make it a little bit more different than that.
Agreed.
But I did love me some Hawthorne Heights.
So did I.
All right. So,
yeah, okay. I'm thinking of all their songs. Okay.
Fall Out Boy is about to be making some new music. I'm real excited for that. So
they are?
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. They're like,
I love it.
Now.
I just need.
I mean, they're not old men, but
I need Simple Plan to get back together.
I did like Simple Plan. Good Charlotte. I used to like Good Charlotte.
Yes. Okay. So anyways, where I want to visit now, we need to make a road trip. I didn't Google map to see how far this would take us. It's not even an actual town. It's a village called Waynesville. There's less than 3,000 people in this town. Okay.
Okay.
Apparently like the entire town is haunted, or at least a good chunk of it.
Waynesville, you said it's called?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I've never heard of it.
Nope. Which I'm a bit surprised. So I did find a few different articles about some of the different haunted places, and I'm going to link to them and stuff. I did watch an episode as well of Ghost Nation, which I didn't realize it actually has three of like the OG people from Ghost Hunters. It has Jay, who was one of the lead investigators, you know, originally, Steve and Tango. There's only two seasons.
I was going to say, is this like, so a newer than Ghost Hunters situation?
I didn't even pay attention to when this came out, truthfully. You can watch it on Discovery Plus. And this was season 2, episode 2. It was like Unholy Haunting or something like that. So I kind of thought it would be kind of similar to Ghost Hunters. It's like Ghost Hunters was really good. I liked it because they always try to debunk, and they do some debunking, but sometimes they got overly excited about some of the stuff that I'm like, you wouldn't have done this before.
Right.
So like I said, Waynesville is a village. It's not like a town proper, but it's actually older than Ohio itself.
Huh.
So it was founded in 1797 by Quakers. And, like, it's named after some general or something like that. And they had hoped that it was going to become the capital of this territory. And it clearly didn't. I guess they have an annual sauerkraut festival there as well, which sounds horrendous.
Yeah, no, thank you.
That tastes horrible. Smells horrible.
All the things you could do, like, who's all on board for that?
Listen, no offense to anyone who likes sauerkraut. I don't understand it, but like I remember working in the nursing home when occasionally we would have it in the whole, which nursing homes already smell funky, let's be honest. But then you throw in that smell, and all I can think about is a whole town that smells like sauerkraut now.
I mean, I feel like even if Nebraska were to have a, quote, corn festival or something, and I even like corn, but nobody wants a whole festival of it. You know?
I don't, you know, honestly, I'm sure in some small town there is some sort of corn festival here.
There probably is. And I like corn. I like cheese a lot. Does Wisconsin, I mean, maybe Wisconsin
yes,
cheese.
I know there's
like,
definitely
I could get behind that. But.
Yeah. Okay. So there's all sorts of things you could do.
Side tangent on the sauerkraut. No thanks.
Yeah.
It's a big hard pass.
But that's not even a food you eat by itself.
No.
You put it on things.
Yeah. No. That's weird. Back then it was like, yay, this is so great. No.
I don't know, but it sounds like they still have this thing going on, so.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. So there's a ton. I think, I swear I read somewhere, and now I don't remember where, that there was like 50 haunted locations in this small-ass town, which I'm like, isn't that the whole town?
Right. So the entire town is haunted.
The entire town is haunted. So, of course, they have, like, a lot of ghost tours and things like that. And it's known as the most haunted place in Ohio, which I'm like, this kind of sounds like the most haunted place in the United States, let's be honest.
Hmm.
So, I was kind of surprised, though, because Ghost Nation, they only, like, focused on one place. They went there for one specific place. And I was like, okay, cool. I thought I would find more videos then about some of these other places. Did not, except for like amateur YouTube videos.
Well, and especially in a place that's so known to be that haunted, you feel like you would have more.
Yeah.
To like back it up. I don't know.
Right. So yeah, I just kind of thought that was interesting because there's this other place called the Hamel House Inn, which is sounds like it's probably one of the other like really like haunted places that I'm like, okay, how did we not have something for here too.
Right.
There's a museum actually in this town called the Museum of the Friends Home, which used to be a Quaker home, like boarding house or something like that. Then it was a nursing home at one point, and now it's this museum. But it sounds like they do a lot of like the ghost tour things.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, there's a local paranormal investigator there named Lee, and he puts on a weekly paranormal investigating class there.
Okay, that's kind of fun.
Right, that's what I was thinking. And so that's where, like, that's how Ghost Station starts, is like they show up to this class, which I'm like, I want to be in a paranormal investigating class where part of Ghost Hunters comes.
That's legit. That's how you know it's probably actually haunted.
Yeah. So let's just kind of talk about why Ghost Nation came here. So they're here for this Catholic church that this family bought and are renovating into a home. This church was originally built.
Yeah. Why? I feel like lately I've read a lot of things about these churches that have been made into homes. And I'm like, why would that ever be a good idea for so many different reasons?
I mean, right. So this church was originally built in 1877 and it actually had some of the original wood flooring, which I'm like, how?
That's pretty crazy. Yeah. Right. And what kind of quality of wood are we talking here?
Right. Like, I was like, holy shit. So Adam and Jonna Powell, they buy this church and decide it's perfect to renovate into the home slash business, which it kind of looks like, I don't know, like, I'm wondering, because a lot of times Catholic churches have, or like churches in general, have a place for like the pastor, the priest to live. So right. I kind of wonder if this already had like the house portion attached to it. That kind of is how it looks.
Okay. That would make sense. Yeah.
So they decide this is going to be their business slash home. So they have an antique business slash t-shirt printing business. And so the main church part where like mass would have been held is where they have the store.
Okay.
And so after starting the renovations and moving in, they notice a lot of weird things, of course. Like they have candles for sale that like they can hear at night, like falling off the shelves and rolling around. Sounds like the front doors are opening and closing, which these doors have like these counter, like these really big blocky counterweights. It's hard to explain. Like when you watch the show, they kind of show them and stuff. You know, and they go in and they don't see anything, right? And they hear voices. One point, Jonna talked about how while she was doing some t-shirt printing late one night, she felt like she was being watched. She felt really uncomfortable. She kind of turned around and then her arm started burning and she had like this scratch, right?
Okay. That's okay.
So all of this is going on to the point where their oldest daughter, who's 18, like refuses to stay there and she lives down the road with her grandma. She's like, nope.
Well, Peace out. Can't say I blame her.
Right. So the family asks Lee, the local investigator, to come in and he actually gets a thermal imaging of like, so in their backyard, they have this like, they call it a shrine. It's like a stone shrine, but it almost looks like a mini amphitheater, you know, that whole like rounded thing, but it's just stone. There's nothing else there. I don't know if there used to be a statue of the Virgin Mary or something, you know, there. But they say they're taking a picture with the thermal camera. They're out there. There's no one in this area. But in the thermal image, it very clearly looks like a man with like his arms crossed standing in this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Eerie.
Yeah. So then Lee also brings in a sensitive, also like a medium or something, you know. And this guy's coming in, which they never name him or anything. But he's like, you know, there was a. There's a priest who lives here or who was here and he got the name Jim and the 1930s. And then he said, because in the basement where there's also activity, actually Lee recorded an EVP of this voice saying, help me. And the sensitive is like, there's a small boy down here, like 8 to 10 years old. He says his name is Thomas. Well, he says that this is the illegitimate son of the priest that he kept down in this basement. The little boy had an accident and died in this basement around 8 to 10 years old. So, and there is this rumor in town that the priest had this element, like he had an affair with a woman in town, whatever.
So he had to hide this kid.
Yeah. So the Powells actually, right? The Powells actually reach out to the archdiocese to get a list of priests that were assigned to the church. And there was a priest named James O'Brien, and this said that he was there in the 1920s.
Okay.
So we're like, okay. So, you know, of course, the, you know, Jay and Steve and Tango come in, they talk to him, figure out what's been going on, and the Powells leave the house for a whole week so that they are there to investigate. The first night, Jay and Steve are in the main part of the house. Tango's in the basement, you know, trying to get stuff. And
I would never want that job. Side note, like, it's scary enough when you're investigating, but going to a basement, like, you're probably going to get some activity.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Or do you rock, paper, scissors with who wants to go
Short straw. Okay.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
No, because the basement was creepy looking too.
Any basement in an old, like, building in general, like,
yes,
it's going to be haunted no matter what, I feel like.
Yep. So Jay and Steve are in the main church part, which was, like, you know, the do store area. So they're talking like, oh, is the priest here? Is your name James? All this. And then they hear a voice from behind them. And you can kind of hear this even just in the recording. So they, of course, have a recorder. They always have a recorder with them. So they're just trying to play it back, and they can't quite tell what the voice is, but you can tell they caught it. So they ask Tango to come up. Tango puts in the headphones. And when the headphones are on, he's like, it's saying, hallowed be thy name.
Goosebumps.
So they were like, okay. So the next day, Tango goes to some church place or whatever to try to figure out more information about, like, this James O'Brien. Did he, like, is there any proof that he did have an illegitimate child? Anything like that?
Yeah.
And while he's off doing that, Jay and Steve are trying to figure out if there's a way to make these doors stick, make the opening and closing sound, you know, stuff like that. And while they're outside, this woman comes up and is like, hey, FYI, because it's a small town, everyone knows that they're there.
Oh, yeah. There's like 10 people. I mean, not really, but like when it's that little, yeah, they know.
Yeah. So, like, I think she had been like a local historian, librarian and stuff. And she's like, actually, just down the road, there was an axe murder in 1879 where three women were killed with an axe. And
always an axe.
Slit.
Always an axe back then.
So turns out, it was, they were murdered by a man named Willie Anderson. And actually, I'll find out later too, because, like, I did look it up, and this did really happen. So actually, it was Willie's mom, sister, and niece who were killed. And people suspected that it was the mom's ex-husband and her son, Willie Anderson.
Indeed. Okay.
So, their bodies aren't found for over a week. And then shortly after that, Willie completes suicide. So I guess the case just went cold because he completed suicide, they didn't look at
it. They just assumed it was like, it's fine. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how old was he then when he did that?
I didn't deep dive into
like,
that
was he
one.
A young kid, a teenager.
I don't think he was super young. I didn't honestly look it up too much.
Not that it really matters. That's just my own curiosity, thinking of like either like a little boy
they
doing this.
They made it sound like he was a man. They made it sound like he was a man.
Well, I mean, I would assume so if it's you're using an axe as well, but
yeah. So
not light, but. Yeah.
So while Jay and Steve are learning about this, Tango discovers there was a priest there named James O'Brien from 1934 to 37. So, like, the medium was right on about that. But based on the timeline of when he was there, like, prior to being there, he was in Switzerland. So, like, the timeline doesn't fit for him having an illegitimate child who would have been 8 to 10. So, like, how do you travel and hide this child if it was with a local woman? Like, that timeline doesn't match.
No.
So they think it's highly unlikely.
Okay.
That there was that.
Just rumors.
Yep. So the next night they decide, all right, well, maybe it's not this priest and his illegitimate child. Maybe it's Willie, you know, trying to be at the church because it was only a few houses down. Like, he's here trying to repent for their murder. So they're trying to talk to him, reach out to him. Nothing really happens that night. So then they meet up the next day with, like, this local history buff, and he's telling them a bit about the town and, you know, it was founded by Quakers, and actually where the church is built, that land was originally owned by some Quakers named Samuel Rogers and his family. And they were some of the first few Quakers to settle the area. Unfortunately, there was a really bad cholera outbreak, and like 6 of his family members passed away on this land. Oh. One of whom was like a 2-year-old child, his son.
Oh, sorry about that, man. That sucks.
I think they said his name, and now I can't remember. It would be interesting if it was Thomas. But so eventually, you know, after Samuel Rogers passes away, his son sold the property to the Archdiocese in 1877, and that's when that Catholic Church was built on it.
Okay.
So then they're like, okay, maybe it's people from the Rogers family. This many people died here. Maybe that's who's haunting this area.
Right.
So they also decide, because like at first they think that that thermal image is like a priest or something in that, whatchamacallit, the shrine.
Yeah.
So they're like, hey, let's rebuild this or like reenact this. Cause they're like, well, what does a Quaker look like? You know, it's, they Googled some, it's like, well, could it be like a Quaker with a hat on or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I have a very specific image in my head of what I think of a Quaker,
which is so like what everyone thinks of pilgrims looking like.
Yes.
Like
yes. Identical. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they have Tango like put up his hood and kind of like do it, and they move him around all this, but, and then it does, it looks like just someone with their hood up or a hat maybe or something.
Okay.
Kneeling kind of in this area with their arms crossed.
Yeah.
Like crazy. You can see obviously a little bit more body heat coming off of Tango, but like the images are interesting.
Yeah. Similar.
Uh-huh. Okay. So then inside the church, they are all three in there, and they have like these smoke machines going, because their idea is that if a spirit is moving through there, it'll displace the smoke and they can see that.
Okay.
So then they hear a bell, or like, it sounds like the door behind them opened and closed, but they rush out there. There's no one there. There's nothing. And there's a bell on the door. So it sounds like the bell rang and everything. Just trying to disprove, okay, no, there's no one out there. No one came up, no playing pranks. So then they're in there and they say they see the smoke being displaced by this coffee table. I didn't really see it. I don't know. But then they're talking about how like, oh, it feels really cold right here. This cold spot's moving. This is where I'm like, okay, you guys are usually a little bit better about trying to be like, okay, what's going on? Can we debunk this?
Yeah.
I'm like, is there a draft? This is
right.
Hundreds of
when
year
is
old
this?
Place.
And it's an old building. Yeah. Like, yes. Think about everything that goes into that.
Yeah. But they're talking about, oh, it'd be the height of like a 2 year old or whatever and stuff. And aside from like the hallowed be thy name, like they don't catch any other EVPs or things like that.
Which is odd. Kind of. Yeah. I mean, if that's supposed to be like a hot spot.
Yeah. So, I mean, they do hear some things, they catch a few things. But that was like kind of the extent of it. I will say this episode was only like 40 some minutes long. And then the last like 15 minutes, it's like you'd get like a couple minutes and then it'd go to commercial again. I'm like, come on now.
Right. Right. That's so really frustrating when you're waiting the whole episode for something to happen and then it doesn't. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Let down.
Like, okay. So it was still like interesting. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Now I'm like, well, I have to go in and check out the rest of them and stuff like that. Cause I used to love Ghost Hunters so
I know.
Much.
I do love those.
Yeah. So
especially ones family- that have a lot of like activity actually, yes. Because those ones are very interesting.
Mm-hmm. So the family comes back and they were like, okay, here's our findings. They're like, we think it's both a residual haunting, like that's where you have like the door opening and closing, because it was used as a church for so long, you know, you have family stuff. But they're like, we do think that maybe there is also active hauntings going on, like maybe some of the Rogers family and stuff like that. Like, I can't remember if they said like the hallowed be thy name could still be a residual haunting, you know, you say the Lord's Prayer a bunch in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So
totally. Yeah.
They do mention that they don't think there's anything that wants to harm them, and that actually the scratch that Jonna experienced was probably just her own adrenaline. She probably scratched herself and didn't realize it.
Okay.
Because she was already feeling uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's like the only mention of any like harm done, you know?
Yeah.
So they were like, we don't think there's anything here that wants to harm you. We think this is a perfectly safe space. We think some of it's residual. Some of it could be active, but there's no reason why, like the 18-year-olds there, they're like, there's no reason why we don't feel like you shouldn't feel comfortable living here.
Right. And even if there is like a presence, once again, it doesn't mean that they're all bad and evil.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like you hear stories about, someone was just telling me the other day a story about these little kids who had like met their grandma maybe once or something, and they were like five. And one day they were all sitting at the table and they were all talking, and they said, and their mom said, who are you talking to? And they said, oh, we're talking to Mimi. And it was like one of those things where it's like, oh, why would kids make that up? But once again, like, it's creepy, but it's kind of sweet, like at the same time.
Exactly.
So like sometimes places like that, maybe it's not even a bad thing. I think it's easy to like just go down that road because you want to think
of all
that.
I think it is, especially if it's someone you don't know.
Yes, totally. Which, like, you're not going to know people in that building that may be haunting it because it's a whole different time period and whatnot. It's not like it's your grandma.
My first apartment that I lived here with my roommate when I first moved to Omaha, I told you about how, like, I woke up at like 3 a.m, my TV on and blaring, and my remote was nowhere near it because it was still packed away. And I got to the point where I was like, listen, if you want my attention, I understand that, but that really scared me. Can you find a different way?
Correct.
And after that, I would come home because I always left my bedroom door shut. I'd come home and my bedroom door would be cracked and my TV would be on. Yeah. And I would just acknowledge them. I'm like, hey, thank you. And it was just, they just wanted to be acknowledged. They didn't want to be forgotten.
I agree.
I never learned their name or anything like that. You know, I wasn't there super long. But it's just a matter of like,
I had a weird thing like that happen when I lived in, you know, Thomasville apartments.
Yeah.
When I first moved to Omaha, because like, I didn't know where to go, where not to go, whatnot. Yep. I lived there and I had a light that the light switch, it was like a horizontal one where you had to slide the light over. So, and I did have a cat. So like, but what are the chances? I can't like a different kind of key. I said that word, a light switch, you know, like they could hit that. I remember waking up one night and I was like blinded because there was a bright light and it was in the kitchen, but like from where it was into my apartment, like that light was on, but it was high enough up. And my cat was still like little tiny kitty at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like so creeped out because I was like, there's no other explanation. I mean, I ended up moving out not that long after it just because some other situations, but like that always creeped me out to this day. I'm like, I don't know what that was, but I never felt like unsafe. So,
right. But I think there are things, there are instances where it's like, we're human, and that's going to be those moments when the unexpected, especially if you're in the light and you're sleeping, is fucking creepy.
Yeah, it is. It sure is, because you're not expecting it. And
and if they don't respect your boundaries, like I said, the one I was like, hey, you scared me. Can you please not?
Like, knock it off. Go away.
And I appreciated that. And I was always like, thank you so much for not doing this.
Yeah.
At a time like, just that would terrify me.
Right. It's weird.
So, you know, sometimes they just want acknowledgement, you know?
Yeah, I agree. But I don't want to, I'm like, please go send to someone else to get acknowledgement. Thank you. I'm not the one for that.
Listen, if you are love and light and kind, like, I'm fine. Cool. As long as we're not trying to scare anyone, nothing negative is allowed in my home. That
Correct.
Is rejected and all pushed out. But
Correct.
if you just, you know, we're like, hey, I'm not ready to move on. I just want to chill. You want to help me find some lost things every now and then or something?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm still looking for things that I want to know where they went. So feel free to help assist out.
Right. Right.
Hey, Dark Hearts. We wanted to tell you about one of our favorite products that helps keep you safe and also gives you peace of mind.
She's Birdie is a cool little device that is small enough you can hook it on a keychain, bag, or even just carry it.
There are two different types of birdies. The original birdie, when activated, chirps very loud. Trust me, it's ear piercing. We've tried it. And also has an intense strobe light that helps deter attackers and gets the attention of potential bystanders.
The She's Birdie Plus is a Bluetooth-enabled device that connects to an app on your phone that gives you 24/7 support where live reps are available. It can also send you a faint call to get out of an uncomfortable situation, as well as provide GPS location to your chosen contacts. This birdie does require a subscription you can either pay monthly or annually.
The best part is you can get 15% off your order when you use the code DARKHEARTS15.
Check out shesbirdie.com to see what fun colors and patterns you can purchase.
Stay Heartland kind and be extra Darkland wary with your new birdie.
So like I said, I did look up the axe murder did actually happen. Ooh. The niece was only 11. Another thing I saw said 12. She was young.
That's very young. And what a gruesome way to go about it again.
And like the woman, when she's talking about it to them, she's like, the blood was so soaked into the wood that they couldn't remove it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and guess with an axe. It's not.
Well, and especially if they were laying there for a week.
Yeah.
In like late 1800s.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yuck.
For and it so was August.
So oh, I was going to say it's literally the same as like Villisca in the sense of, I mean.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
So the house was eventually torn down, but a new house was built on the same land, you know? And so like people say that they see a Victorian woman with a child at times.
Hmm.
Like I said, the other place that seems to be fairly haunted in the area was the Hamel House, and that was built in, like, the 1800s, and it sounds like it was, like, a tavern and, like, a stop for, like, a coach stop, you know, traveling across the country, and then it was made into a bed and breakfast, which it is now. Among the hauntings is a ghost cat. Which I'm like,
okay, I can get down with that.
Yeah.
It's like Binks, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of from Hocus Pocus.
I think they even said it was a black cat. So, like.
Oh, Binksy. Okay.
Right. There's a traveling merchant who was apparently murdered there. So then they also hear, like, the sounds of voices and shadow figures.
Yeah.
Like, there was a story about how someone went there and he was, like, the only guest there, but it sounded like a large party was going on. And I guess one of, like, the guy who owned the place that it's named after, Hamel, was like a Quaker, but I guess there were like mad parties went on there and stuff.
Okay.
So
that's kind of funny.
That kind of sounds like that's probably a lot of like residual stuff.
Right.
As well.
Huh.
Another place of note here is the Stetson House, which, like, you know, the Stetson cowboy hats. So it sounds like, I think it was the sister of the guy who created that hat, like, owned a house here, and the guy who created the hat, he had, like, tuberculosis and asthma, and she was, like, sending him money, he was feeling real down, so he came and lived with her for a while, makes a miraculous recovery, but then she catches tuberculosis, and he only pays her back, like, a little bit of money he borrowed from her, and, like, doesn't take care of her, and she dies.
Oh, my. Okay. Uh-huh. Sounds like a great stand-up guy.
Right. And so apparently she haunts the Stetson House. So, like, people say they see a Victorian woman, like, walking, trying to get into places and things like that.
Crazy.
Of course, then, like, the museum is supposed to be haunted, the school, the graveyard, which I'm like, I mean, yeah, they always are.
But, right.
I mean, like, and so you can find these articles and they'll tell you, like, little stories about some of these different places, like little anecdotes from other people and everything. But there was nothing too much. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to do a haunting. This has a bunch of different places. Yeah. But then, like, I started doing it. And I was like, okay, there's not near as much as I had hoped there would be about some of these things.
Well, and I feel like a lot of those cases too are like that. I mean, if there was like a ton of things, it would make you even question it. I feel like sometimes, like, is this being set up? You know what I mean? So I think there's always the element of, like, the unknown that goes along with that. But
I was just hoping to find at least one other show or something about one of the other places. Like I said, the Hamel Inn, I was kind of surprised, didn't have anything. But I still think this sounds like a really neat town. You know, maybe I could have deep dived a little bit further into this. Maybe I'll try to come back and see if I can find some more deep dives on some of the other places eventually and everything. But that was kind of what I had for this week. Like I said, it's a shorter episode, but I really wanted to do it. I was like, this sounds like an interesting place.
Yeah.
I don't know how far away Waynesville, Ohio is, but I feel like we should make like a little trip. And of course it talks about how like they're busy and what do you call it? Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if it's haunted, it's haunted. So
it's not going to just be at Halloween. Yeah. Like, I get it. People are more interested in doing those things maybe around that time.
Yeah.
I say, like, we make a go to, like, Villisca. We just make a little, like, road trip, you know?
Yes. That's what I'm thinking, right? We just do a little. I'm, like, Google mapping right now. Okay. So it's, like, 11 hours away.
Oh, that's not, I mean, it's bad, but it's, like, not if you split it up and went to, like, I mean, Villisca's not even that far, but, like, you know, if you did that and then, like, a couple on the way and
listen,
made it, like,
we could just have, like, a whole ghost tour because, like, we'd be going through, like, Illinois, Chicago. I mean, if we wanted to take a little bit longer and have a toll of 55 cents, we could go up to Chicago.
Oh, that'd be so even. Fun. Let's discuss this. If I have time now to plan for childcare, like, a year away, just kidding.
Or,
really,
like, even, like, we could go through Kansas. You know, there are haunted places in Kansas.
Yeah.
We could go through Kansas and Illinois and stuff like that.
That would be really fun.
You know, there's lots of places. Oh, we could go down. We could even go further down and go to St. Louis because that was where I had that brewery place.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. You can find me in St. Louis.
Yeah, look, we could just, you guys. This is the other call out, call to action now. Send us places that we can stop and visit on a haunted tour to Waynesville. Let's plan on spending the most time in Waynesville because it has more places.
Yeah.
And let's just find like little bed, like haunted bed and breakfasts that we can go to and stop along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I like this.
I like this too. It's funny because speaking of, so Kyla is doing like a bachelorette party in Kansas City at, I want to say, I think it's called like the Elms. So I was just looking at the website, like, you know, trying to figure it out. And on there, it's supposedly a haunted like place, and you can do like a tour while you're there. Ooh. And I was like, I know you're really excited about like the relaxing and all that, but like, I want to do the ghost thing.
Can we do the ghost thing?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, so I'll have to send you that link just because I don't know if you've ever heard of it either, but I was like, that's kind of cool.
But see, yeah. Like, yeah. And oh, see, and then what could be fun is like through each stop, we could like have a little meetup with anyone who maybe listens.
That can be our tour.
Yes.
We're going on tour.
We're going on tour, you guys. Mm-hmm. West United States to go stay at all the haunted places.
Yes. How fun though. For real. Like.
Yes. So let's plan this for like, even if it's not until next summer, spring, summer.
Well, they'll be give us enough time to like do some research and be prepared. Do some research,
plot it out, set money aside, be like, hey, family, we need like 2 weeks.
So we're going to need watch our children.
Mm-hmm. So we can do this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we can like record from all the places and stuff.
Yeah. That would be actually really fun. And it's definitely doable with our equipment. So,
yeah. And in a whole other year, who knows where we might have fancier equipment. We might be able to afford like ghost hunting.
We'll have our own cameramen. Follow me. Just kidding.
Come this way. We can at least get some like fancy digital recorders for EVPs.
I mean, yes. That's
what our phones are for now. There's plenty of that probably. But like thermal cameras.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that stuff's like easy to get now. I mean, nowadays, I guess I should say. But... Right.
I like this plan. Love it.
Love it.
Love it so much.
Okay, we're on track.
I like it. So, yeah. Did you read or watch anything last week?
I mean, not really. My kid was on spring break, and so it was just a lot of like... I mean, I've been watching, I guess I should say, the new Love is Blind season.
There you go.
But that's about it. And I just had that on like while I was working, but I've been reading the same book for like 2 weeks because it's like 600 pages and I'm just struggling getting into it, but I'm about halfway done now. So that's
there
it.
There you go. There you
that's
go.
That's where I'm at.
I've started, I only watched the first two episodes. It's interesting. The new show on Netflix called Beef.
Okay. I have that on my list. I was confused about the premise of it. So maybe I'll start that then later today.
It's interesting. So like it's a dark comedy kind of thing.
Some
rage is involved, some retaliation, but then like I said, I'm only two episodes in. I gotta see. I don't know. It's probably like eight. They usually are. But it's got some good actors.
I think it is eight. I want to say because I watched the trailer for it because I was like, I don't know what this is. Like I'm confused about what this is. So okay.
Yeah,
I'll check
it out. But it's like by studio, like what is that, like A21 or something like that. And like they tend to be horror. And I think this is like kind of classified as horror, but I'm not seeing, but it might come into play later, I guess.
And then the fact that it's called Beef is just like weird to me. Like, well, I mean, I get it because there's like beef. And...
Yeah, because they have beef and they're like, we just wanted something that was going to be like catchy.
Yeah.
You know?
And it is because I immediately was like, I got a notification, Beef is now, you know, and I'm like, huh? What?
Yep. Okay. Yep. I got so... Beef. I've only watched the first two episodes of that. I did read, it was supposed to be a horror novel, and I was really disappointed. It was called The Dead House, and they make it sound like it's going to be from this one woman, Maggie's point of view. She, like, moves into this old, abandoned house in Ireland, and then it's from, like, this other guy's point of view, and we only see it on, like, there's one creepy part, and then I'm like, I didn't give a shit about him.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Why does he even get a part? Yeah.
I will tell you what I read and what freaked me out, but it didn't freak me out until after I was done and thinking about it. It was called Pen Pal. Let me find the author's name real quick. By Dathan Arbok.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, it was really well written. It's written in a first-person point of view where this guy is telling you, like, his life story. And you know how, like, if you're talking to someone, you're telling them, you try to go in chronological order, but then, like, sometimes you jump back. You're like, oh, I forgot to tell you this, and I need to explain. So it does that a bit. And you're like, okay. He's like, so I'm going to tell you things as I knew it. Okay. And then I'm going to tell you what I found out from my mom later. and then, you know.
Right.
So you're going through. So for the first thing, and my true crime brain was like, who the fuck approved this? He's in kindergarten. And the teachers are like, we have a balloon project where you're going to write a letter. We're going to take a Polaroid picture of you and release these balloons. And then hopefully someone will find it and write back to you. Now, they give the school's address, which I'm like, cool, but why did we send pictures of
the picture's
children?
Not necessary. No,
no,
definitely
who
not
was
too
like,
far.
Yes, let's send this out to who knows,
like,
who's
it's
gonna
cool
find this
to do the letter part, but there's, and then like just to see if someone gets that, like,
yeah.
But the picture's creepy. I don't like that.
Why did we do that?
No.
So these kids are getting stuff back, right? And all this, and seeing how far their balloons traveled. So like on the one hand, I'm like, cool, I kind of get the concept, but like, what the fuck?
Right.
So you're going through and it's him telling his life. And there are these odd things that you see happen. Like one night he wakes up in the middle of the woods behind his house and he doesn't remember how he got there and he doesn't have any scratches or anything. And he finally makes it back home and his feet are all fucked up because he was traveling, walking through the woods barefoot.
Correct.
Police were there because his mom found a letter saying he ran away, but he doesn't remember any of this.
Okay. That's
so then,
weird.
Like, you're going through and there are these few little things. So he starts getting a pen pal pictures, but they're all these random Polaroids. And that's it. Later, he's putting it together. Like they're getting ready to move. And then his mom goes into their house to grab their cat because it keeps going under there. And something freaks her the fuck out. And she's like, we're leaving right now. And he has a friend who they apparently, like, they make it a point to say at one point that they look very similar to each other. And you're going through it and everything. And later he discovers that these Polaroid pictures all have him in it, whether it's in the corner or not.
What?
Yeah.
No.
So you're like, okay, these are creepy. It's not until later. Like, I don't want to give anything away until, like, because some shit goes down and you're like, what the hell? And then you just find out some stuff towards the end. And it's like, okay,
creepy.
Read it. And there's some, like, creepy moments. But then it's like you're sitting there thinking about it. You're like, oh my God, you discover this kid had been being stalked since he was like 5 through his teenage years. And he doesn't fully realize it. But his mom did and was like trying to hide it and protect him.
Pen pal. Oh, yeah. The cover is creepy.
Yeah. And it's like one of those things like, okay, that was weird. And then I'm like laying in bed and I was tired and I could not stop thinking about it. It was like, oh
yeah.
My God.
I'm definitely adding that to my cart.
Yeah.
Here.
Like it was a quick read. I got it on Kindle, read it, you know.
Yeah.
I just thought it was very well written.
Yeah.
It wasn't too slow. And you're like reading these things and you're like, you're reading about these people, this kid's life, but you're seeing things. And like, as an observer, you're like, well, that's kind of weird. And you're starting to like question things, but then you get stuff that he's like, so this is what my mom told me. And you're like, holy fuck.
Mm-hmm. You're like, this is exactly why we don't put pictures in a freaking balloon. And no, thank you.
So that one stuck with me. That's like what I call like a sneaker. Like it snuck up on me. It wasn't until I was laying in bed later and I was just like, oh my God, this was so terrifying because it could legitimately happen.
Right. I read the book. Did I talk about Rock, Paper, Scissors at all?
No, I don't think so.
I read that one in like a day because I couldn't put it down. And it was there's like a paranormal aspect to it. Mm-hmm. But then after you finish it, you're like, wait, what did I just read? And you almost want to go back and reread it knowing what you end
what
up
you
finding
know.
Out. You know what I mean? It's one of those where I was like, it just F's with your mind hardcore because it was
okay,
really good though.
You're going to have to send me that one.
Yeah. Oh, I will. You would like that one.
Okay. Yeah.
But,
so
yeah,
I'm currently reading one right now called The Root Witch, which is supposed to be like a paranormal thing. Mm. And I'm finishing up The Priory of the Orange Tree on audiobook. So yeah, otherwise I haven't watched a whole lot. Last week was a fairly chill week for me. So, you know.
Yeah, I haven't And now that it's like so nice out, I'm like, well, this is perfect weather to like go outside and like sit on my porch and read. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm hoping that
I got
that's
a
the
hammock.
Route that goes.
I got a hammock
yeah,
for my birthday.
You did. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. It's
so,
a wonderful gift.
It's where I plan on spending some quality time, either listening to audiobooks or reading or something.
That's amazing.
I'm so excited.
Which your gift is coming. I just got a notification a little bit ago. Actually, it'll be here on the 13th.
Okay.
I'm excited because I think it's fun.
I probably have hyped it up so much that now it's going to be like, oh, but it's fine.
I'm excited. Fine. I love it either way. So yeah, guys, send us where we can go from here to Ohio that might be haunted. So we can start planning that for a year still from now, 2024.
For sure.
Yeah. Ghost tour.
Yeah. I like even numbers, so that feels good.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feels right. Feels right.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Grand Island, the Comic Fest is coming up the weekend of the 21st. Don't forget about that. I'll have their Facebook page linked again with that stuff. Merch will be coming soon. We'll make a post when that's all up and running. We're working on the website and all that this week. So
yes,
here soon. But you can email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com or message us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, all the fun things. And don't forget to rate and review or even share our podcast with people who you think might like it. Like that helps us a ton, you guys. So
we appreciate it and we look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah. So until next time, stay heartland kind,
but darkland wary.